2009, and welcome, Senator Anderson. We are excited to hear about the Green Jobs Task Force. We know that you've done some excellent work on that, and I'd like to just note before we start that we do have a few members who are not here at this point. There are a number of bills up in other committees. There is also another event going on, and we know that they'll be coming in and out. So this is a topic of importance and of great we have really thought about this a lot. So thank you for being here today and covering this for us.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. And I know Senator Metzen has been especially interested and keeps asking me, when are you going to be ready to come to my committee? So I hope he can. He's presenting a bill in another committee, so hopefully he'll be here for part of it as well. So I understand the time conflicts, and I'm supposed to be on that other committee too. So we'll get our things done. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about the work of the Green Jobs Task Force and to present to you some of our findings and recommendations. We've put an enormous amount of work into this starting last session. And let me just say for review that last session we came before this committee with a couple of green jobs-related bills, one of which required the state to coordinate its economic development and environment and energy policies together and to align those. And we did pass language that incorporated those ideas into our economic development grant programs. Maybe I should back up even a step further and say that what inspired this idea was, well, a number of things, but part of it is that, as you all know, we've really led the nation in Minnesota in passing strong environmental and energy policies. And you can see the what we call the Big Five bills that are up on in our PowerPoint that are really all pretty remarkable and unique and lead the nation in many ways. And we expected when we passed some of those bills, especially the Renewable Energy Standard, which I worked on for many years, that we would get a huge amount of jobs and economic activity out of passing those bills. We've gotten some, and we've gotten some very good results from those, and we've gotten, of course, our desired environmental and energy policies are moving forward. But we felt that we weren't doing enough to capture the economic growth from this green economic future that is coming to pass. And so we wanted to make sure we could align those strategies together as a state so we could try to maximize the job creation from our efforts in energy and environment in Minnesota. So we passed a bill last year to create the Green Jobs Task Force. It was a bipartisan group that included legislators, state agencies, private sector, labor, environmentalists, et cetera, a broad-ranging group of 24 people. We met a number of times and had several subcommittees that we created and met around the state. And I should mention, I see some IBEW folks here today. I think it's your day on the Hill, right? And I just want to mention that one of our task force meetings was at the IBEW's, the Electrical Workers Training Center in St. Michael, where they used their money to build this private state-of-the-art solar training facility where IBEW workers, electricians, are being trained to install solar panels. And we toured it and saw and heard that they've got a lot of folks sitting on the bench who are ready to go to work in these green jobs, and they need the demand, they need the market to create those jobs because they're ready to go, and the training is available. Excuse me. Could I get a glass of water, please? Thank you. We, as a task force, we contracted with Richardson and Richter. This is Trudy Richter from the consulting firm that's local that helped to staff the task force. And we also contracted with a national firm called GSP Consulting to do a market analysis to help us see where Minnesota is best positioned to capture the growth of the green economy and what our areas of strength are. Excuse me. And that GSP put together a market analysis. Thank you so much. Oh, okay. Thank you. That's very nice of you. Thank you. I don't want to take water out of your mouth, you know. But thank you. I appreciate it, Senator Bonner. We have a detailed market analysis that's a rather lengthy document, and we'll go through some of the highlights of that in this PowerPoint, as well as a state action plan. And so our charge as a task force was to do the market analysis, to come back with information that we could use to guide our work, and to create a state action plan. And we put together last Friday, the task force met and passed a number of specific legislative recommendations that we would like to move forward on this legislative session. So we'll get into those as well. We don't have all the documents here. We didn't want to inundate you with long reports, but I should mention that we have a very good website that was one of the first things that we used our assistance from Richardson and Richter to put up. And so we have a website called mngreenjobs.com, and it's got a wealth of information, and I encourage members who are interested in this topic to just log on and see. There's links to all kinds of other reports and other information that you might find useful and interesting. Obviously, we've been hard hit by job losses in Minnesota as well as across the country, in particular in the manufacturing area. What we've determined from this market analysis is, using a very conservative methodology for estimating jobs, that we have the potential to grow or retain at least 70,000 plus jobs in Minnesota from the green economy. Now, a large number of those are retaining jobs that we already have in place if we maximize the work that we're doing from the renewable energy standard, our energy efficiency laws, and so on. But we also know that if we implement the action steps that we're proposing, we know that number will grow beyond that. And our consultant has agreed that the last thing they can do is, as part of their job, is to analyze what the job growth is that we can, at least what can be estimated from the legislative initiatives that we bring forward. So we're in the process of drafting bills from these legislative initiatives, and we'll be talking about those a lot as the session moves on. I should mention that these numbers do not include any investment from the federal economic recovery bill. You know, when we started our work, it was before that was made available, and so we know that given the amount of investment that Minnesota can expect from the federal government in the areas of energy and clean water, that there will be a lot more job growth, at least for the next year or so, that would come in addition to what we're projecting. If we use that money wisely and we put it to use quickly, it will maximize and accelerate what we're already planning to do and hoping to do in Minnesota. So let me just go through, and Trudy will fill in. We'll sort of tag team on this PowerPoint, and so I'll let her take over in just a moment.
So perhaps a question.
Sure.
First, on that last point, Senator Anderson, you mentioned that there is potential for more things to happen because of the recent federal stimulus package, and we had a discussion on that here on Monday with the energy sector. Do you see that there's a point person emerging? Because we talked with, I believe, Commissioner Hansen, and I know that he's overseeing this, and we talked about how might we have a coordinated effort, and certainly there will be competitive grants that an individual business might be able to apply for, but where might we as a state bring together a team to look at across, and we did have that conversation, and we talked about energy and green jobs and those kind of things, but do you see that there's sort of a group that might help us lead on energy in that respect?
Well, a number of us, our legislators and staff here, are working with the Office of Energy Security. Bill Glenn is here. I think the deputy commissioner was here, and he must have stepped out. But he was a member of our task force as well. And we've been working with him and his staff to identify those streams of money. There's some block grants for energy work that can cover energy efficiency, conservation, and renewable energy, and then there's weatherization dollars, and they are funneled through the Office of Energy Security. So we're trying to work together to figure out exactly what's available and exactly what we need to do to maximize the use of those dollars in Minnesota, And we're expecting to put that into legislation so that we have really a clear definition of what we need to do as a state. Just in that, on that, well, we can talk about that more in detail later, I suppose,
okay,
if there's questions. But, and then there's the whole clean water, drinking water, and clean water infrastructure, which involves different committees. This is interesting because one of our recommendations that you'll see in our legislative recommendations is to have a single authority in state government that would be the go-to place for information about, for green jobs and for green businesses, for where they would go to find out how to tap into state programs and whatever kinds of assistance they would need or permitting needs, et cetera. So we'll get to that because it's somewhat fragmented among different state agencies. So just to move on, we did put together a definition of green jobs that we used for the purposes of our market analysis and our research. I mentioned, do we have methodology listed in a slide? I'm not sure if we do.
No,
I'll just mention the methodology just really briefly. I mentioned it was a really conservative estimate. And what GSP did was look at, job categories like welders or energy auditors or whatever it may be, you know, architects. And they, in some of the green job studies that have been done before, they sort of decided, okay, all architects can be counted towards green buildings when you're counting for green jobs. GSP was much more conservative than that and tried to create a formula to identify what portion of that particular occupational category would be doing green jobs. And, you know, it's a little bit arbitrary to decide what's green and what's not green, but we did our best so that we could have some kind of a framework to work in. And we identified those five areas that Minnesota has policy, strong policies adopted already: renewable energy, energy efficiency, clean water, global warming reduction, and biofuels. And then and that's what's referenced here in Minnesota statute, those opportunities that are part of the green economy, as well as the four industry sectors that our market analysis told us are areas of strength that we should really capitalize in Minnesota. And that's green products, renewable energy, green services, and environmental conservation. So we're going to talk about the market analysis in those categories. You'll see our task force guiding principles. I don't think I need to spend time on that at the moment. I mentioned subcommittees. We tried to break down the issues into how to retain good jobs that we already have, how to attract new green jobs or grow new jobs, and what are the workforce training and education needs to meet those job requirements. And as it mentions, we had a number of subcommittee meetings around the state, and hundreds of Minnesotans came and listened and testified and gave us good idea. So it was a really great process. You'll see some of the findings from some of our subcommittee meetings, some of the themes that kept coming up in among public members who came in and talked to us. And briefly, I'll just highlight a couple of these, or highlight the bullets. Public sector marketing. This is a big issue that we've been thinking about for several years while we've watched Iowa take the lead in bringing wind turbine manufacturing plants and pointing to Minnesota's mandate while they did so. And we know that we need to do a better job of marketing Minnesota as a great place to do business, especially in these target industry areas. We need to target job training and opportunities to disadvantaged communities. There's a huge amount of interest among a lot of different communities, whether it's construction workers that are on the bench, or whether it's inner city folks who are looking for good paying jobs in areas of high unemployment. Across the board, we're seeing just a great deal of interest in help us figure out how to get into these green jobs. We heard that from lots and lots of people. And that reminds me, I meant to bring with me a handful. I've gotten at least a dozen emails since we had our press conference on Monday for this bill, 2 days ago, from people around the state who are interested in opening a business, in hiring more workers, in doing more to expand their green jobs or green business. And they want to know how they can get involved and you know, can we help them or can they help us? So it's really exciting to see the level of excitement that this idea is generating. The Green Jobs Resource Connector is the idea to have a website that's a place that people can go to find out information quickly, streamline permitting grant processes. We heard from businesses and entrepreneurs around the state, you know, help us so we don't have to call six different state agencies or government units to find out, are there any loan and grant programs that are available to help me? Is there any way, you know, to go through my permitting process without having to talk to 20 different bureaucrats? So we're really focusing on trying to help that. Venture capital support, we saw that as a need to work on. Greening public procurement and expanding renewable energy through policy. Okay, the market analysis, and I mentioned the areas that were identified as strengths in Minnesota, and I'll go through those in a little bit more detail in these slides. The renewable energy sector, and I'm not going to read everything on here, but as it says, this market analysis really honed in on these four different sectors and talked about how many people are working in them now and what we can expect in the future depending on the actions that we take and how successful we are. And so this indicates the renewable energy sector is one of the areas of real promise for Minnesota. So we have a lot of this in-depth analysis in our market analysis report. I'm just going to go through it quickly and just highlight what we have. The green product sector is the next one, and products, when we talk about green products, we mean products that help green buildings, you know, that are make up what are green buildings, the products that are part of that, and products that can enhance a building's energy performance, like energy efficiency or better technology for heating, for HVAC, for windows, et cetera, for all the different component parts in a building to make them more efficient or have a smaller environmental impact. Green services was the third area that was identified as a real strength for Minnesota and real potential for growth. And as it says, this is already a pretty big sector in Minnesota and can be expected to grow from 22,000 to the close to 30,000 and higher, depending on what we can do to help. And that would include things like energy auditing services, recycling and waste management, and building energy infrastructure. And the fourth sector, environmental conservation. And this is one where we talked about our clean water legacy law that's in place, and then tying that in with our new funding source from the constitutionally dedicated funding for clean water that gives us a long-term source of funding to do aggressive water cleanup of our surface waters, our groundwaters, our drinking water, our wastewater treatment plants. So we'll be making a lot of investments in these areas, and that will be creating a lot of economic activity and job growth in our state. And then I'll turn it over to Trudy Richter for the next part.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Anderson. My name is Trudy Richter with Richardson Richter, and it was our firm that staffed and coordinated the market analysis as well as the work of the task force. We wanted to share some of the recommendations that GSP Consulting provided to the task force because of their study looking at what was the green share of jobs we have and that we could hope to have if we had a focused effort. One of the things they did for us is they benchmarked certain states to say, okay, what are these states doing and apparently doing well because they're getting green jobs? And those states were Colorado, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North and South Dakota, and Iowa. So as part of their recommendations to us, they looked at the benchmark states and tied those recommendations to those states. What the task force did with these recommendations, some they looked at and generally adopted an initiative associated with the recommendation. Some of them they shifted into a tool or an idea that they felt better represented what would work here in Minnesota. So under the renewable energy sector, it was identified that all these other states have grant and loan programs to assist in the adoption of renewable energy technology, and we don't. They recognize that there are also tax credits for renewable energy systems in North Dakota or tax exemptions in Iowa and Illinois. There's individual specialized training programs, and there's some pre-seed investment and grant programs. In the green products area, they indicated that in many states there's expedited permitting processes. And during the task force hearings and outreach to the state, we heard of examples of where if you went to North or South Dakota, you could be assured of a permit in 90 days. And in Minnesota, we can't assure that timeline. There's grants specifically for implementation of solar systems in Colorado, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. There's tax abatements and other type of initiatives around the benchmark states for green products. Similarly, with green services, they made two specific recommendations. One, that we should convene various potential green service organizations to explore opportunities. And this was partly a recommendation because of our listening sessions, we realized we do have, as Senator Anderson mentioned, quite a bit of fragmentation in the state. And the dialogue and the discussions actually amongst the various sectors and community members was, I think, very helpful for people around the state to learn of resources they hadn't been aware of and connections that they could make with various entities and individuals in other sectors. And finally, under green services, they noted that while the education pipeline is critical in all of the green jobs categories, it's certainly important to match up private sector needs with education and training delivery system. And finally, in the environmental conservation area, their recommendations included aligning our natural resource and cultural heritage program funding initiatives with opportunities for green jobs, identifying opportunities to transfer environmental conservation expertise to other states, and creating programs to provide grants for pollution control. And now Senator Anderson is going to share the initiatives that we came up with that tied in many of these recommendations, sometimes in a slightly different flavor.
Madam Chair, we have 24 specific strategies and recommendations that were adopted by consensus of the task force. And then we have another page of some additional ones that were adopted by a majority vote. And I wonder if you want me to read them all. I'll try to highlight them if that would be
A very good idea. And sure. We are now on the handout that is the Task Force Action Plan Executive Summary, I believe on page 2.
Yes. Thank you. And so I'll just try to highlight these a little bit so I don't read them all. But in the area of, again, they're in these categories. That makes it a little easier to describe them. In the area of renewable energy, we had a number of proposals that relate to driving the market and deployment of renewable energy. So we talked about funding streams through revenue bonds or, in some cases, GO bonds for schools and other public buildings to install renewable energy systems like wind, solar, or geothermal. Incentives for solar, for development of the emerging solar market, whether it's through some financing mechanisms or policies that will support solar development. And, we've talked a lot about how to get more use and installation of solar and wind and other renewable products in Minnesota. We've done really well in that area. We're offering ideas for how to go further and make it broader and more widespread. But we also heard, that we can incentivize solar and build it and grow the market in Minnesota, but a lot of those solar panels are being imported from China. So how do we make them here, too? That's sort of the last piece that we really want to grab hold of. And so that's not always as easy to figure out how to do it, but we're working. We have some ideas. We have some recommendations under renewables to promote biomass and biofuel development as well, or to have a biofuel larger scale development project and biomass plants that to support commercialization and to remove barriers to transmission and distribution of renewable energy. That's a policy recommendation. The next area of green products sector, we want to look at strategies to increase the possibility of manufacturing electric automobiles in Minnesota and to support the infrastructure that would be needed for electric cars. That's a near and dear issue to me, having the Ford plant in my city that needs a long-lasting good tenant. And maybe it'll be Ford, maybe it'll be someone else, but it would be a perfect place to work on electric cars, to manufacture those. Modify Minnesota's building code to increase energy efficiency requirements. Use the state's purchasing power for green products. Support recycling programs and some reforms to the SIP process to allow a little more flexibility about counting gas and electric savings. And finally, we had some discussion about the food production sector. And so we're recommending a study that will look at what the potential for jobs are in that segment for job growth. Under environmental conservation, we looked a lot at incentives for businesses and utilities to do more in recovering waste heat and to do more cogeneration, aligning funding from our dedicated environmental funds for maximizing job growth, targeting energy efficiency in our wastewater treatment. That's an area of big energy use, and we haven't done much to try to capture that potential for energy savings and cost savings. And identifying training needs and figuring out how we can train the workforce that will be needed to really grow that sector of energy efficiency in particular. Senator Jungbauer, who was a member of our task force, promoted the idea of water recycling by industry and figuring out ways to encourage that to happen more. Under green services, again, consensus items include putting in place mechanisms through creative kinds of financing, more accessible financing, or policies that will encourage more energy and efficiency enhancements of public buildings, businesses, and residential properties, including foreclosed properties, incorporating energy efficiency ideas whenever we use public funding in bond and grant programs. Let's see. And we talked about, this is a piece that relates more specifically to trying to get that manufacturing sector in Minnesota. We talked about trying to support green industrial parks, and you could do it in a fully developed community by cleaning brownfields and using public bonding to restore and improve infrastructure. You could also do it in areas that don't have that existing old, worn-out infrastructure like some of our cities do. And there's an interest in some of those newer communities in doing biobusiness parks that are very green as well. And they know that there's a market niche there that they can attract companies to. And I should mention, just in the last few weeks, I've had a solar manufacturing company come to me and a small battery storage company come to me and say, we want to open up shop and hire, you know, hundreds of people to manufacture these products in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and those are just the ones I know about in the Twin Cities. And they need just a small, you know, something here or there to make the difference in helping them open their plant and get started in business. They want to locate here. They need a little bit of help, whether it be a loan guarantee or a site that is available for them. And that's an area where we can really help attract those manufacturers. Okay, I think that's the four. I covered the four sectors. And then we have, as I said, there's six more bullet points, and these received a strong majority of the voting members. Establishing a green enterprise authority. And I mentioned this as kind of the one-stop shop where green businesses could go to get expedited help about how to get their business going and also to be the one place that would work with all the state agencies that are involved and MNSCU to coordinate job training opportunities. Policies for encouraging locally owned distributed renewable energy, strengthening net metering, angel investment tax credits is something we heard about from the financial community, that's a targeted kind of assistance that new companies need to get off the ground, and it's been very effective in other states. A green bonds program and farm-related farm-to-home community farming kind of projects. So I will, this is a lot. There's a lot here, as you can see, and there's a lot of great ideas, and we're going to try to move forward and introduce as many of these as we can in legislation. And I would encourage senators that are interested in carrying bills related to these recommendations to talk to me and work. We can work together on getting bills drafted. I mean, we want to have this be a group effort. So we have a lot of good ideas and some recommendations that may not even make it into bills this session, but hopefully will begin to guide our long-term strategies for economic development in Minnesota.
Very good.
So I think I'll probably stop there and see if there's questions.
Just a few comments and some questions, and others may have some as well, is on the Angel Investor Tax Credit. Those bills have already been dropped. I am I'm the author on two of them. And I wonder if you might comment a little bit more on that, because whenever we've heard people talking about tax credits for businesses, there's been a real pushback. This is corporate welfare. And on the tax credits, it's for the investors. It's not for the actual business. It's for the investors who are putting money into these ideas. So could you reinforce that in case people are listening to this and why those are so important to long-term job growth? It's not bailing out failing businesses. It's really helping some great opportunities emerge here in Minnesota.
Great question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Anderson. We have been looking at a variety of models as part of the task force work, and Wisconsin, I would recommend to you, is one state that has a wonderful angel tax credit program. And you're correct, Senator Saltzman, when you indicate that it is the investor. So, for example, if I was to invest $50,000 in a new business, I could take that off my income and not pay taxes on in the state of Minnesota. I'd still have to pay Uncle Sam for that $50,000 investment that I had made. What typically happens with angel tax investments is that there's a cap as to how much the state's willing to allow to be invested. And what we have learned is the reason there's such a great need is you might have your garage idea and you started and family invests some money, and then you need some more. You need an infusion of cash, but you're not ready for the venture capital, the big dollars. And the angel investment tax credit allows you to go out, maybe tap on others for smaller amounts in the $500,000 to $1 million range, and it encourages those people to take that initial risk on an innovative idea, and then you're more ready for the big time and the venture capital.
And Madam Chair, the only thing that was a great explanation of kind of what we heard over and over, and I just want to mention that we met with a number of financial experts from Piper Jaffray, and we had some extensive meetings with a number of their different, what are they called? One was a public sector financial investor, whatever his job title is. Sorry, it's escaping me. Anyway, the folks that make the decisions about who to lend money to when they get to that point. But they really made the case that at that early stage, when you need a chunk of money beyond your garage and what you can pull out, but before you get to the big bucks, this is a big gap in Minnesota, and we need to encourage it, and it could really repay big dividends. So we heard that from the financial experts.
And we would agree. I mean, we have heard a lot of those same stories. Have you worked at all with the BioBusiness Alliance and Destination 2025? Because we heard their report a couple weeks ago, and they're doing many of these same things. I believe that we used state dollars both to support the BioBusiness Alliance and this particular study. So there's some overlap there. Because they noted specifically on the combustible energy that there was an incredible opportunity for us immediately, and they're working on that. So how do we bring all of these different groups together? What would be a way to do that? And I think you mentioned having one office or one point where all these things can come together, but we're sensing there's a lot of overlap, or at least I am. How can we bring those together so that we reap the greatest benefit in this time of federal stimulus dollars and other opportunities?
Madam Chair, members of the committee and Senator Anderson. Members of the task force actually attended and participated in the biobusiness efforts, particularly on the renewable energy side, because that was clearly where the largest overlap was of the work we've been doing. Now that we have just, as of Friday, developed our recommended initiatives, we're circling back with the Biobusiness Alliance. And I don't have a specific recommendation today from the task force related to how we integrate with them, but we'll certainly want to collaborate, particularly where we've aligned our interests, and should be back to you with more information on that.
And on the issue of the Green Enterprise Authority idea, it's the way it's been described is that we would ideally have one staff person assigned from each of the relevant state agencies to be in a collaborative thing, whether it's not necessarily a physical presence, but to work closely together on a regular routine basis. And the hope was to borrow an executive, a private sector person, to come in to chair it or to help administer it for a year or whatever, was available to provide some overarching direction and vision so that we could do it without really any additional cost to the state. But it would provide that kind of comprehensive big picture look at what are all the things that are happening, mm-hmm. and trying to bring them together in one place. So you make one phone call to connect.
Very good. Are there other questions from the committee?
No, Madam Chair.
And there is from Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I was interested in your your comment about getting things from China.
Yeah.
And, we have Minnesota Power put 10 windmills on the Iron Range, and if I'm not mistaken, the blades came from Brazil and the towers came from Indonesia. And right now they've taken them all down because they were defective. And I'm wondering, they had a Buy American clause in the federal stimulus package. Maybe we should have a Build American clause when it comes to green jobs. I don't know if you guys have discussed that in the task force or not. But,
well, Madam Chair, Senator Tomasoni, I'm really glad you brought
like
that up. And I'm actually putting that in a bill, but I didn't propose it as a task force recommendation because I knew it might be a little controversial, but I strongly support that. And I think the bill that I'm proposing, John Fuller has given me some expert advice here about, what the Supreme Court says. And as I understand it, we can't dictate to private companies that they have to buy American necessarily. That then you run into all kinds of issues. But when we're buying, when we're using state public dollars to buy wind turbines or solar, so, for example, if we are able to get some bonding dollars to do that for some of our schools around the state, to put wind and solar on those schools, then we darn well should require that those are Minnesota-made whenever possible. And so I agree that that's a good idea, and that will inspire a lot more jobs to come locally. And if we can start getting the production of those going, that's the right way to go.
And Madam Chair, one more question, because these numbers are pretty impressive, and I've never really exactly understood what a green job is. I think I told you one time it's probably as good a job as any other job. But is a logger that cuts a tree for a biomass, is that a green job, the logging job that? I don't know.
I think it would be, Madam Chair, and
even
Senator
Thomas. Even though they've been logging all their lives.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. We're talking about a lot of people who already have skills and training, and maybe the area of the industry that they've worked in the past is in economic decline, but there's growth in other areas where their same skills can be put to use. And I mentioned, I think before you were here, that we used a really conservative analysis of what is a green job, because you have to make some arbitrary distinctions. So, a logger who's cutting down a tree to build a green building would be a green job also. But if it's just a conventional logger who's cutting down trees for,
furniture,
maybe it wouldn't be. But that it's a little bit arbitrary, but I think there's a huge amount of opportunity there that we need to recognize and try to encourage.
Well, Madam Chair, I think the key, not only to green jobs, but to this economy, is that that we create jobs, because I don't know that we can buy ourselves out of this economy, but I think we can work ourselves out of it. And So creating jobs is going to be a very important thing. And I would hope that nobody introduces legislation to kill jobs this year. So at any rate, I'm very concerned about the fact that whatever we do in this legislature this year, that one of our main focuses is job creation.
Well, and also in this list, I think that we've also had the discussion of where do we really target, then trying to do a lot of things and not doing many of them very well. Where do we have the greatest opportunity? And that's where I think if we work with some of these other groups, which, like you are, is very important, because we can find where we can really collaborate and where different organizations have really identified our greatest strengths and greatest opportunities, and then target our dollars to those areas. And that has to happen fairly quickly with these dollars coming down, and plus our legislative process in having a state budget. Are there other questions from the committee? Well, with that, Senator Anderson, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I know this is going to continue to be a very important discussion. We have wonderful opportunities. And our chair is back.
No,
Senator Metzen,
it was a very good presentation. Yeah.
It was an excellent presentation.
Thank you. You got the short version of it, and it was really good. And we're sorry you weren't here, and I have to go back to the committee you were in now. But thank you for giving us time in the committee. It's been great questions, and we really appreciate your attention and interest in
appreciate this. Your efforts in this area.
Thank you,
Senator.
We are about to adjourn, but we do have a meeting scheduled for Monday, and we'll be hearing bills, and we do understand that, you know, many of you have other bills in other committees, but we'll see you on Monday, and with that, meeting adjourned.